It's Michael Cade from Veeam Software. You're listening to the Virtually Speaking podcast.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 12. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, sir?
I am excited.
You are? Why is that?
I was going to say radio's going on, and I'm hearing reports of what's going on there. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jeff Hunter's on there. We're going to need to get the whole download from him and see what he's doing. Hey, quick note. After last week's Las Vegas episode, there was a little teaser at the very end where I explained a little story about how Ken Werneberg talked us into going into this little dive bar. And I get a message from him later saying, hey, thanks for calling me out like that on the show. Sorry, Ken.
You know, I would have complained, but I woke up. I mean, maybe feeling a little bit of a buzz still, but I had a couple extra $100 that I, you know, didn't start that night with.
Nice.
So
depends how you acquire those 100 extra dollars.
We're going to go with blackjack.
You may recognize that voice. Our guest, one of our guests today is Mr. Cormac Hogan. He's on Twitter at Cormac J. Hogan. He's got a blog that's really hard to find. It's called CormacHogan.com. He's in the office of the CTO, and he's written tons of stuff on just about every VMware topic that's out there. Cormac, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. We're talking about VAIO today, which is a pretty exciting topic for me. It's something that's new as of vSphere 6 Update 1. And so what we decided to do to complement this conversation is to bring on one of our partners from SanDisk, Rich Peterson. He's the director of marketing over there, and he's done a lot of great stuff with FlashSoft 4. So, Rich, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks very much.
Cormac, before we even get started, I know you've been up to a lot. I mean, you've written books. As a matter of fact, you got another book coming out really soon, right? Another, is it version 2 of the vSAN Essentials?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Actually, John was one of our technical reviewers in that, so... I think the last update I had was that it should be out on June 2nd, so not too much longer to wait.
So we can blame John if we find any errors?
Absolutely.
I was going to say, I was told just to look for technical information, not for grammar spellings. So.
Oh, okay. We'll let you off the hook.
I'm going to blame Christian Dickman for those. There we go.
Good idea. And for any other inaccuracies, I'll blame Duncan.
Nice. Yeah. That's my go-to anyway. Any problems, just blame Duncan, you know, because he can take it. All right. So, Cormac, before we dive into the weeds of VAIO, can you do us a favor? I know you've written about it in several blog posts for a while. So can you give us the 101, sort of what is VAIO?
Sure. So, I mean, it is still pretty new. As I said, your other guest, the SanDisk FlashSoft team, I mean, they've just brought out the first IO filter, essentially. But, you know, having said that, we've been talking about it since I think it was VMworld 2014. Yep. And it's all fitting into this software-defined storage vision that we have. So we know that we have vSAN that's covering the HCI hyper-converged side of things. We also have virtual volumes for, you know, the SAN or NAS storage arrays to allow us to do software-defined storage there. But IO filters is essentially about data services and allowing partners like the FlashSoft guys to provide data services to or join customers for services that they may not have currently. So flash acceleration, for one thing, maybe replication, maybe encryption. Who knows what we're going to see come out of this. But the whole point is that it fits into that software-defined storage vision. In other words, it's per VM policy-driven. So we can have this data service provided through IO filters on a per VM basis based on a policy that we create and associate with that VM. Policies that we create in exactly the same way for vSAN and for virtual volumes.
Can you nest or layer those policies? Could we combine two different solutions, maybe one for, say, replication or data protection and one for caching and IO acceleration?
Yeah, that would be the whole idea. Whether that's going to be available, you know, out of the box immediately. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, the long-term goal would be to be able to use a lot of those different policies concurrently for sure.
Awesome.
And I know previously a lot of caching solutions fell under the partner supported area, which was kind of an awkward space that said, you know, basically, please don't call us, call them. With Vio, is that going to change?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's one of the major points as well. So, you know, the plugins previously, they would plug into the PSA layer. And if something went wrong, you know, support would ask the customer, well, can you just back out this plugin? And let's see whether the same issue reoccurs when we're using just a native VMware stack.
Yeah.
But this is you know, completely supported now by VMware. So there's no issues there. We're not going to get customers to uninstall it if something goes wrong.
Right.
Which is really good.
Yeah, Rich, you're on version 4 of FlashSoft. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys were doing prior to FlashSoft and how we've come to this new version?
Sure, yeah. So FlashSoft has been, the core technology has been in development for 5 years plus now. Really, what it's, you know, the core algorithms are designed to stand in an I/O path and identify the data that's being accessed most frequently. And obviously, if that data can be made available from a solid state memory resource rather than a spinning disk array, then you're going to see much better performance in your virtualized applications. So that core principle has been something that's been in the technology from the very beginning. The key question is, what's the optimal way to integrate that capability into the vSphere environment? And so earlier versions of the technology were more tightly coupled into the kernel of the vSphere hypervisor. So you would see, as Cormac mentioned, our most recent product, the product that supports vSphere 5.5, is integrated through the pluggable storage architecture, the PSA layer.
Right.
And there are certain limitations to that type of architecture. I mean, obviously, support is a concern because it's a partner verified and supported product, which is sort of the highest level of endorsement VMware can provide for that type of technology. But it's not a full endorsement. It's not a guarantee of any kind of support. It's basically a statement that says we're only using published APIs to integrate the caching engine with the hypervisor. So it's good, but it's not as good as it could be. Definitely, as the Vio framework was developed for vSphere 6, there's a methodology there to get these intercepts out of the kernel space and into the user world, which is obviously greater for stability. But it also means that now we have the Vio framework, so we have criteria by which we can certify a technology and say, yes, this is, you know, this conforms to the standards and can be certified a VMware-ready technology. So this is the first time that you've got a third-party storage software service that can be certified by VMware as a VMware-ready technology. So it's a big step forward for us, and it's a really big step forward for our enterprise customers that want that level of support.
Well, that makes sense to me. So how do you get started with it? Like, do I have to install that on my host? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. How do you get started? So, you know, basically, you get a VIB, you install the management components in vCenter, and from that point, vSphere really takes over. So a big part of the Vio framework isn't just the runtime operation, but it's the actual deployment of the components that run on the host. So we basically become a native part of the vSphere environment. So the host components are deployed to the hosts across the cluster, and you know, installation, configuration, updating, even uninstallation, that's all governed by vSphere. So to some degree, while it is a third-party component, it's under the control of vSphere and vCenter. So sort of what Cormac alluded to earlier, that this is policy-based. Obviously, the caching policies themselves are registered with, you know, storage policy-based management, but the entire deployment and configuration of the caching that takes place on the host servers is also really governed by vSphere itself. So it's a much more native type of feeling than having to go around with some kind of third-party thing that you're installing manually on a server-by-server basis. We're miles away from that now.
All right. Well, anybody on the call, help me understand an example of using FlashSoft 4 with a policy using SPBM. Is there a use case where that would make the most sense?
So I guess, Pete, if you had an application that was, you know, quite read intensive, but it was, you know, going out to a storage array, and you wanted to improve the performance of that, of those reads.
Yep.
And what you can do is you could have a local installed flash device, use FlashSoft to claim that device, and then you can carve it up for different virtual machines for accelerating the reads of those virtual machines. But how you would do that then is through policies. So you would have your virtual machine deployed. You would go into your SPVM, your VM storage policies. You'd see your new policies for the FlashSoft. I think we call it write-through cache or something like that, Rich.
Right.
And
right.
So what you would do is just create a policy tagging those capabilities, associate that policy with the virtual machine where you wanted the read cache acceleration or the read improvements, and that's it.
That's pretty awesome.
So it's pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you really navigate through the cluster, through the vCenter GUI, and we just have a, you know, when the management components are installed, a pane in the GUI is provided for cache configuration. And as Cormac said, you just, you know, you look at the virtual machine, and you can choose at various levels. You can say, let's just accelerate everything in this cluster. You can say, let's just accelerate this virtual disk, but not this virtual disk. Or you can say, you know, this VM, all of its virtual disks will be accelerated, whatever you really like. It's kind of a checkbox thing. And at that point, the caching algorithms take over. They identify on a per virtual disk basis what data is the frequently accessed data. So what data should reside on the solid state cache. But then also, based on activity, how much cache space should be allocated to each of those virtual machines and each of those virtual disks. So if you have operations that take place like at night, for example, within your organization, we will dynamically reallocate cache resources to those virtual machines that are most active at that time. So there's really, once you say, I want this to go faster, you're pretty much done as an administrator.
I like that we're working within the policy framework of, you know, assigning things either on cluster or VM or object levels. So you can kind of take groups and accelerate them or do things like that. And from an acceleration standpoint, it's nice that, you know, you're extending cache, but you're also taking load not only off of the disks on the back end, but you're bypassing all kinds of internal queues and buses. You're bypassing your fabric. There's all kinds of bottlenecks, I guess, that exist within storage. I think Cormac's documented them quite a bit in his blogs over the years. And it's nice that you're moving that load to the server, so to speak.
That's a really good point, John, because in conversations with Rich and the FlashSoft team, they are able to compare the previous implementation that they did in the PSA with the implementation that they've done through IO filters. And there's a huge performance difference by doing it through IO filters. So you're bypassing that whole PSA layer. I don't know, Rich, do you have any figures at hand?
You know, we're still digging around with that. The really is dependent on the workload and the amount of the percentage of cache hits that you get. When you hit it, when the cache is being hit with 100% of the IO, that's when you see the difference most notably. And you know, we're seeing, you know, 10 times or more faster performance when we're accessing our cache through the VIO framework versus traversing the VMFS stack and the PSA layer. So it's much, much faster just because the VIO framework was designed to deliver the IO to the filter in under a microsecond. The latency difference is huge.
So stupid question time. If I've got multiple hosts in my cluster and I've got this virtual machine that I vMotion over to another host, does the cache go with it? Does it need to be rewarmed? How does that work across hosts?
It depends, actually. In the initial release of the product, what we do is we're very cautious with the cache. So the most conservative thing to do is to invalidate the cache on the original host and rebuild it on the destination. And the reason why you'd want to do this if you're conservative is in the event that virtual machine was migrated back to its original host,
sure.
If it found its stale cache, it might not be aware of changes that took place on the other host. And so you'd have a problem of inconsistency there. But there are things that you can do to sort of, if it's a planned migration, to prefetch and migrate the cache data ahead of the virtual machine. So there are things that we can do. And there are a variety of new features and capabilities that we're working on that will be coming out in future releases. One of which includes actually sharing a common resource pool as the cache resource for, you know, for all of the hosts. So rather than having internally attached solid state devices, have an externally attached server filled with flash devices. That would be a common cache pool for the entire cluster.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And with some of the directions, I guess, in flash technology, things like NVMe fabrics, I mean, you can access Ethernet's really fast. I mean, the latency on a traditional SATA drive is obviously actually higher than Ethernet today. But with some of the new flash drives coming out and things like NVMe fabrics, that makes a lot of sense in terms of, you know, fabric attached flash or having that flash as a common pool, but having technologies to access it at memory like speeds are on the way soon. So cool stuff.
Yeah.
There is one other thing worth mentioning, I suppose, the security aspect of it. So when we were dealing with you know, products that plugged into the PSA, something went wrong with that. You're pretty much impacting everything. So all virtual machines that were using that acceleration mechanism or whatever it was that was plugged in. The nice thing about the IO filters is that, you know, the constituent components just run in the particular VM's own namespace. So if anything goes wrong, it's only impacting that VM and not pretty much everything. So there's a nice granularity aspect to it as well.
Also, what's nice with just operating in a read cache mode is you're transparent. So you can completely rip things out if you need to, and you shouldn't have any impact or problem.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, within SanDisk, we have been providing write-back cache as core functionality in a variety of different environments. For example, you know, standalone Linux servers, for example. But one of the things that we found is that for many organizations, just from a policy perspective, when they look at the safeguards that they have to put in place when using write-back caching, they will often say, you know what, for the workloads that we're running, the performance differential between write-through caching and write-back caching isn't really that great. So why don't we just stick with write through, even when they've had write back available. And obviously it depends on the IO profile and the workload that you're running. But to the earlier point about offloading so much of this IO traffic off your storage systems, a lot of organizations find sort of an ancillary benefit in their write performance getting better, even when using a write through cache, just because there's so much less traffic on the SAN, and they're serving their writes more efficiently off their existing storage infrastructure.
Well, and writes array vendors have a lot of ways to cheat that. I mean, you can cache every write, assuming it's coming in, or there's log structures or things you can do. Cache misses on these, you know, small, let's say the array's got a 16 gigabyte cache, there's not really anything you can do. I mean, that's just physics, except deploy a very large cache that's data local in what you're doing. The other point you made about organizations how they have to look at it from a policy basis. Anytime you're doing a write-back cache and you're putting that in line, in effect, you're actually becoming another storage vendor because you're controlling data layout, you know, you're controlling acknowledgement. And that's really storage virtualization in a lot of ways, not just caching.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And VIO does have some interesting improvements now with it, because fundamentally the framework is designed to support vendors that are bringing write-back caching into the picture. A simple example is how snapshots are managed. When we're talking about on-host snapshots, right, that are triggered through vSphere, in which there's coordination within the framework to automatically flush any write cache data and then execute the snapshot and wait until the snapshot's been completed before allowing write caching to begin again. And that's kind of, you know, we get that for free thanks to the developers at VMware who've put that into the framework from the very beginning.
Oh, wow. So if you do a snap, you'll actually have full consistency at that checkpoint, where if you ripped out the solution, the data would be whole. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, this is really software-defined storage.
It sounds like it, yeah. So we talked a lot about caching. What about replication? I know that's one of the new things with VIO as well, is support for replication. What is FlashSoft 4 doing with replication?
Well, thanks to the VIO framework, we're pretty much staying out of the way of replication. this is a challenge. You know, if you have multiple third-party storage technologies that are integrated through kernel APIs, there's a large chance of interference. And it's not necessarily going to always be a problem, but in certain cases could be a problem. And so the VIO framework does have this concept of the data services, the filters themselves, existing at different altitudes in the IO path. And the replication filter is simply at a higher altitude than a caching filter. So any IO that needs replication, if you implement a replication filter, it's going to hit that filter before it hits the caching filter. So we're out of the way, so to speak.
That makes sense.
I think it's the EMC recover point team or the other design partner initially, along with Flashsoft. So I think when we initially kicked off this project, we chose two design partners, one Rich and the team from Flashsoft, and the other were EMC recover point. I think they're the guys who are building a filter for replication now.
Oh, we'll have to ask them for sure.
I've heard that. And that makes sense that we can have multiple partners playing well together rather than stepping on each other's toes or leaving data in a weight that wouldn't be friendly for the other one.
Indeed.
I saw something about working on vVols with the virtual VNXE because I'm really excited about that because that means I'm already running the Unity VSA on my vSAN. And if I put Flashsoft in there, I can be using SPBM while using SPBM while using SPBM. So,
yeah,
that's where you want to have Manish on the call. He is Mr. Nesting when it comes to, and he's actually the one that reached out to the folks at EMC because VVNX really was the simplest way for us to validate vVol compatibility.
I deployed it yesterday and it took maybe 20 minutes to get set up. I mean, it was really easy.
Yeah.
But that's what you guys use at your demos, right, Rich?
We do, actually.
Four Nooks and, it's really cool what they've done, guys.
Have you seen the Nooks from Intel? They're very, very small servers, and we can put little flash devices inside them. And so we have a little rack of a four-node cluster, and then we take a fifth Nook and we run VVNX on it, and that's our emulated storage.
Nice.
I've actually got seven Nooks sitting on my desk to the left of me. Man,
I'll tell you, you know what's a lot of fun is carrying that through security in Barcelona.
Oh, I bet.
As long as your name's not William Lamb, I think you're fine. So,
I was just going to say, as long as William doesn't travel through France, he should be okay.
Funny thing I need to compare with William. The very same week that he got through his situation with his passport that he ended up getting sent back to the States, I had the exact same problem. I brought the wrong passport to Berlin. Same exact thing. We both were traveling with outdated or officially lost passports. The only difference was I actually got through and they let me in where they actually sent him back. So we need to compare stories one of these days. But Rich,
there you go.
As far as other storage vendors, is SanDisk, does SanDisk work on all arrays and all protocols for that matter?
One of the things about the pluggable storage architecture, the old way of integrating PSA, is it's a part of the VMFS stack. So we really only supported block storage, and so NFS was a gap in our earlier product. But VIO is designed to be open to any data store type. So we're comfortable with VMFS. We're comfortable with NFS. We validated it against virtual volumes using EMC's VVNX. I think at this point the validation is continuing just because we want to be 100% certain that every vendor's virtual volumes implementation has been validated. And so that's an ongoing exercise. But the VIO framework itself is designed to be open to the vVol data store type. So we should be fine there too.
Nice, because everybody knows.
Lungs suck.
Well, you won't get an argument from me.
Yeah, so I know I worked with some previous caching solutions that were hardware or controller based, and they typically had a relatively small maximum cache size, like just a couple hundred gigabytes. How large can you guys scale?
Yeah, that's a good question because, as you mentioned, a lot of early caching technologies in the storage space were somehow tightly coupled to a hardware, maybe an HBA or something like that. And, Flashsoft is an all software implementation, so it's going to work with any form factor, any hardware form factor, SAS or SATA, PCIe, NVMe. If you can concatenate devices to create a single logical volume through hardware or software mechanisms, we'll support that. And the cache size that we're working with can be anything as small as 16 gigabytes to as large as 16 terabytes. That's pretty good size. That's per host. So you'd have to have a pretty big server to need 16 terabytes of cache, because keep in mind, only 10 to 20% of your data is actually going to be that hot data that needs to be in the cache.
Yeah, 16 terabytes just for the hot data. That's pretty significant.
Well, when you've got those, multiple 64 terabyte data stores going on, it's, wow. Yeah, that's some intense amount of data.
Hey, Rich, Cormac here. Just had a Just wanted to touch base with you about, a lot of the vSphere features and their interoperability with the IO filters from Flashsoft. Are there any considerations that we need to have around core features like DRS, HA, and so on?
No. In terms of the core features, the way the VIO framework is designed and the way we're implemented in the VIO framework, you don't have any restrictions on vMotion, HA, DRS. That's all fully supported. You may have considerations with fault tolerance and SRM. Those are the only possible restrictions, but that's just sort of the nature of the framework itself. But in general, anything that you're doing today with vSphere, you can continue to do when you've got a caching filter deployed.
That's good.
Thanks.
So, Rich, are you doing any partnership with any specific OEM vendors out there for servers?
Sure, yeah. As SanDisk obviously does most of our business through partnerships with server and storage vendors, both on the hardware side, but also on the software side. So we have reseller relationships with HPE, with Dell, with Lenovo, with HDS as well. So basically, if you are going to deploy FlashSoft for the VMware environment that you're setting up, you can buy the software through the server vendor that you're already doing business with. And most people find that pretty convenient.
Yeah, for sure. All right, last question for you, Rich. So if I wanted to use SanDisk, do I actually need to buy your flash, or does this work with any flash?
It works with any flash. It's all software. It just sees a flash device as is. So you could, if you have existing flash that you've purchased, you can deploy FlashSoft using it. If you're in the market, we could certainly give you better pricing, probably with a bundle, hardware and software. But the software is designed fundamentally to work with any flash, any form factor from any vendor.
All right, well, Rich, this seems like a great 101 for FlashSoft version 4. I know there are some certainly other vendors out there that are doing this. Primary IO, for example, just had a release for their IO filter. It's an interesting topic, this VAIO. I know I'm guilty. I keep calling it Sony VIO, so I'm going to try not to do that anymore. But if you're interested about VIO, we will leave notes on our webpage for this podcast that will talk about what FlashSoft is doing and sort of also the VAIO development guide. So if you guys are interested in actually participating in that partner program. Cormac, thank you for joining the podcast. Rich, thank you for joining. You both have open invitations to come back anytime. And if that's it, John, any more questions before we land this plane?
No, let's do this.
Bye for now.
All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes by going to Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to be talking to some of the geeks over at SolidFire. And so until then, bye for now. Cormac, I want you to have fun at that. What is that thing you're going to? You're going to be gone for like 3 months. What is it called?
Yeah, it's the Cloud Native Apps Business Unit.
Take 3. Take 3 is, I think, the program.
Uh-huh.
That's it. It's called Take 3.
Ah, Take 3, right? So for three months, you're just going to be learning instead of working. That's awesome.
Well, hopefully you're bringing it back to the storage menu afterwards as well. There's obviously a lot of integration to be done with it too.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. All right.
You know the drill.